101.9.
Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
And a lot of that is because we don't possess the spirit of Koinonia. And so, Ray, we're not close in church, and we're not close as the body. And here's why. I want to go back to something from Sunday at the 7:30 service. And here's why. Because we are not convinced. And when you're not convinced, I say it differently. The only way to be Koinonia, when you get past the warm, fuzzy feeling of the love culture, Ignatia, Jane, you get past the whole loving on each other, right? And you thinking that's Koinonia because, you know, we hug each other. Hey there, how you doing? And, you know, like right now with this whole Me Too movement, you know, I'm scared to hug any of y'all now. I don't baptize people anyway, but I'm about to give me some sisters to baptize women. So I need, Brandon, I need some of y'all to work out because y'all ain't going to pool to Jonah, right? I'm going to let y'all work that out. Gray, I'm going to protect the brothers. You think I'm joking? I'm serious. I'm seriously joking, right? So I ain't scared to hug y'all. You know, forget it. I don't care. You know, we family, right? So, you know, it's strange that a lot of times people who are convinced are willing to pay every price. People who aren't convinced and always have to be talked into it are going to always be hard to deal with, because there's going to always be a reason why they give that they don't, they're going to always have a reason as to why they're not committed. You know, y'all don't do this, y'all don't do that. Listen, here's how I know you ain't Koinonia. When you start with y'all. If you never start with us, you ain't Koinonia, you a member. Us says, I'm in, and whatever's broke, I'm committed to fixing. And whatever's working, I'm committed to protecting. Right? So, and it's because people start out, and I keep hitting the wrong button, people start out convinced. So, that's what I want to talk about, the importance of being convinced. So, what does it mean to be convinced? It is to be completely certain about something. It is firm in one's belief, especially in regard to a particular cause or issue. It is to be completely certain about something. When you are convinced, you are completely certain. When people are completely certain, when you are firm in your belief, and that's what made the church in Acts Milton so incredible. They were so certain that this was God. And because they were completely certain, Sabrina, and there was no way anybody, Yada, was going to ever talk them out of it. They so believed in it. They so believed in this scope. They so believed in this. They so believed in the church. They so believed in it. They were certain. They were so confident until they suffered. And that's the missing piece. The missing piece has not, listen, the reason why some of you, Tiffany, work all day and come to church on a Tuesday while others stay home is you believe that this is important enough to your spiritual life. You are convinced you need to be here. Am I talking to anybody? The Robinsons believe that this is where I'm supposed to be. You are convinced. And when you are convinced, there is no turning away. There is no discouragement to the level, Kevin, that makes you not be involved. When you're convinced that this is going to help me, listen, some people go to the gym 8 days a week because they believe that going to the gym is a part of their life they cannot ignore. They're convinced. You cannot. I could not talk Ray out of not going to the gym. If I threaten his life, Ray would still find a way and a reason to go to jail because he's convinced that it's a necessary, important part of his life. People who engage in koinonia in a church, they are absolutely convinced about the church they're in. There is no negotiation. Are y'all here? This is important because being convinced is about more than saying, I like coming here. Being convinced says you cannot talk me out of it. So, because I'm completely certain and I'm firmed in my belief, especially regarding a particular cause or issue, here's the key. The key is that the first church's commitment to, watch this, giving and serving was that they were firmly convinced, so they were convinced to the point they never negotiated. And here's what they were convinced of. Three things. They were convinced that Jesus Christ was Lord. They were convinced that Jesus Christ was Lord. They were convinced that Jesus Christ was Lord. That's the first thing. They were convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 4:13, there was no name except the name of Jesus by which men and women can be saved. They were convinced that Jesus Christ was Lord. That's the very first thing you got to be convinced of. You got to be convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2, you got to be convinced. Verses 1 through 5, you got to be convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot live and not be convinced that Jesus Christ isn't Lord. You got to be convinced. That was the first thing. They believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I'll show it to you. They were absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ was Lord. Acts chapter 2. Beginning at verse 21, listen to what it says. And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Listen to these words, fellow Israelites. Jesus of Nazareth was a man whose divine authority was clearly proven to you by all the miracles and wonders which God performed through him. You yourselves know this, for it happened here among you. In accordance with his own plan, God has already decided that Jesus would be handed over to you. You would kill him by letting sinful men crucify him. But God raised him from death, setting him free from its power, because it was impossible that death should hold him prisoner. That's what they believe. And they were so convinced. Verse 32. God has raised this very Jesus from death, and we are all witnesses to this what? Come on, to this what? What did they call his resurrection? Fact. What is fact? Something you can't deny. Right now, we're about to have a mess in Washington because they're getting ready to have this hearing. And you got a man and two men and one woman, and they're going to say different things from 35 years ago, and there's going to be no conclusion. You want to know why? Because you got two people with two different stories, so you don't know what the facts are. Well, the apostle said, this Jesus thing, for us, it's a fact. We're so convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord till you can't talk us out of it. When do you become that convinced? And we don't have the joy of the empty tomb. Listen, people can say, well, you know, I went to Israel and I went to the tomb of Jesus. I don't know. I ain't never been to Israel. I had two chances to go. One of them was free, and I turned it down. Because I would be the one who would be in Jerusalem at the little cafe and get bombed. Because I don't really care to see the Mount of Olives. I'm going to take his word for it. So they'd be like, eight Israelis and one black man got bombed today. Could I be there sipping tea with the Israelis? Because they're having fun. I hate sightseeing. I hate it. I want sightseeing. When you're out of shape, walking bothers you. I don't want sightseeing. I'm gonna take their word for it. They say that's where he died. I believe you. It looked just as good from my house. So if y'all hear I went to Israel, they were offering something other than just going to see them too. Right? So I got to take it by faith. But when your faith grows strong enough, you're convinced. Lord, I thank you. Watch this. Watch this. Everyone turn to John chapter 21. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 21 and 25. Y'all got it? What does it say? John 21 and 25, what does it say? Listen to that. There were so many other things he did. And because there were so many other things he did, they can't even be written down. Watch this. John 20 and verse 29. Much of what Jesus did isn't even in the book. So your faith has to be built on the development of a knowledge of him. Because we don't even know half the stuff he did or said. It can't be contained. Here's Jesus talking to doubting Thomas. Jesus said to him, verse 29, what does it say? Keep reading. How happy are those who believe without what? Which means that there's a level of knowing him that does not come from vision. It comes from faith. And if your faith does not grow, you will never be confident enough in who he is. When you know him by faith, you become so convinced until nobody can talk you out of what you believe. And that's, Quincello, is where so many believers have lost it. The enemy's done an amazing job of Darnell unconvincing us, of making us engage in all these conversations about the Bible. I'm scared for some of you to sit around some people and have biblical discussions around people that have no prayer life, that have no study of the word. Listen, it's the funniest thing to me. It's the funniest thing to me. How many of you send your children or would have sent your children to a school of people who are uncertified or untrained to teach? How many of you would go to a doctor who you can't at least verify that they don't have an earned doctor's degree? Who goes to a lawyer that ain't gone to law school? Then why do y'all listen to people talk about the Bible that ain't been certified or gone through training? Even if you can't read the prescription, it's the fact they got a little white coat on and they sitting behind that counter you can't get to that make you take them pills. And actually make you think they work. You just popping pills every 4 hours. Girl, what you taking? I'm taking Excalibur. Everything got to start. Everything got to end with ride. What you taking? Ooka-cooka ride. Okay. Is it working? What's it for? I don't know, but I feel better. And yet, we got people who have no biblical or theological background or foundation, and y'all are sitting around and listening to each other. Whether y'all believe it or not, we really do go to school for a reason. I really do. I went to school for a reason. I did. I'm trained to do this. I'm his. Like your doctor's trained and your teachers are trained, your pastor should be trained. We used to call them jacklegs. Just because they can speak in tongues don't mean they can speak the word. Right? And a lot of times it's because now people are engaging in debate and discussion. And that all of that debating and discussion has made people, Kelly, no longer confident in the word of God. So you got a lot of people who even come to church, the first thing they do is they discuss without having basis. Because we're no longer convinced. So they were convinced that Jesus is Lord. They believed firmly in his authority and his power. And they gave themselves away to him. And what was so amazing was that because they were convinced that he was Lord, and because they were convinced that he had authority and power, and because they were convinced that he had the ability to heal and to deliver and to save and to change, and because they were convinced, they found themselves willing to make sacrifices for him. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 17. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. Watch this. I was looking for something, but let me find this. Matthew 17. This man brings his son to Jesus to be healed. And verse 18, after Jesus rebukes his disciples, he says, bring the boy here to me. Verse 18, Jesus gave a command to the demon, and it went out of the boy, and at that very moment, he was healed. Right? Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and said, why couldn't we drive out this demon? He said, it was because you haven't enough what? Faith. Did you get it? You haven't enough faith. You are not convinced yet. There were certain demonic forces that just enjoy tormenting saints because we ain't convinced yet. We do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord yet. We say it. But we have not been totally bought in that Jesus Christ has power. And so there are certain demonic forces, Ministers Ken, that are working around in the church, working around in our lives, because we do not believe he has authority. Y'all hear? You got to get this. If you're not convinced, then you can't do koinonia, because koinonia is going to require of you some real sacrificial stuff. And if you don't believe that he is Lord, you're not going to do it, because you ain't going to be able to justify it. You ain't going to be able to justify, doing. Listen, they believed so deeply into who he was that they took their resources and they liquidated their property. That thing is deep, y'all. That they took Jonathan, all they had, and gave it away. They were so convinced, God Almighty. They were so convinced till they gave it all away. Until you get convinced, sacrifice ain't even worth it to you. I can't do all that. I can't give all that away. Getting up at 6 a.m. to come pray, I don't see that. I don't see the sacrifices. They don't make sense to me. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord. But here's the second thing we're convinced of. They were convinced that the apostles were his ordained representatives. They were convinced that the apostles were his ordained representatives. Acts 5. Acts 5. Here's how the Lord confirmed that the apostles were his ordained representatives. Verse 12. What does it say? Notice what they were being called. They're being called what? Believers. Don't miss that word. Henrietta, don't miss that word, Alexis. MIT Alexis. Lord have mercy. Alexis is in minister's training. And the Lord says it is so. Right? Don't miss Elder Tadita, what they're called. All the believers, says Tony, all the believers meant together. Verse 14, that's all I read. What does it say? But more and more people were added to a crowd of men and women who, keep reading verse 15. I can't get nobody to help me catch this. They believe so much. Years ago, I did a sermon entitled Shadow Anointing. I wrote a little book about it, Shadow Anointing. They believe so much that he didn't have to touch him if the sun hit him just right. They would position themselves where he was walking by. Y'all ain't got it. See, here's what's crazy. God can't do miracles when he's got a believing apostle but an unbelieving pew. I can walk in here every Sunday and tell you God wants to do it, but until you get convinced, it don't happen for you. You got to believe if I obey God, God's going to do this. See, the church today is paralyzed by people who ain't bought in. People who ain't bought in. Church of God in Christ would birth the father of the Pentecostal, was a guy by the name of Charles Seymour. Right? Seymour. And it started in a little alleyway in L.A. Pentecostal movement in America. Church of God in Christ was birthed out of that. Because C.H. Mason was in the alley. And he saw the power of God. He sensed it, Sabrina, and he experienced the power of God because he saw the move of God. And a part of why the enemy, Michelle, works so hard to weaken us is he knows that when I don't believe that God can do anything, and when I'm not convinced that the power of God does not exist for me, I come to church and I will actually block my pew's blessing. Because while everybody needs to praise, I ain't got one. Oh, I need you to look at somebody and tell them, don't stand in the way of what God's trying to do. Because the Lord can be ready to bless everybody, and you can be the one person that stops the move. I need y'all to get this. I'm trying to push y'all to the next level. There was this incredible move of God. There was this incredible move of God, and it got so incredible until the shadow of the apostle. Everybody turn to Mark chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1. My God, I thank you. Jesus left that place and went back to his hometown, followed by his disciples. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many people were there, and they heard him, and they were amazed. Where did he get all this? They asked, on what wisdom is that has been given to him? How does he perform miracles? Watch what he's doing, Elder Breon. He's teaching in a way they've never heard, Sister Carla. He's performing miracles. And then they switch on him. But ain't he the carpenter, the son of Mary? Okay, let me help you. Whenever they labeled you from your mama's side, they were calling you a bastard. They were calling you illegitimate. So they were basically saying he can do all the miracles he wants. He ain't real. He can teach all he want. It ain't real. And what it did was that as they begin to spread the negativity about Jesus, y'all better get this, St. Paul. As they begin to spread negativity about Jesus, Jesus says in verse 4, everybody read it, what does it say? Here's the scary part, Papa. Y'all better get this part. Verse 5 says what? He was what? Keep reading. They were watching miracles, watching God do incredible things, Carlton, and they sat there and they destroyed the very move of God. And when Jesus wanted revival to start in his own hometown, he couldn't do it because they were negative, they were critical, and they lacked faith. They were not convinced. I don't need y'all to miss none of what God just said in this house. When you are not convinced that God is moving among you through your leader and through each other, you can block the move of God. This is why the enemy, y'all better get this, Koinonia is where it happens. When you are in Koinonia, you create an atmosphere for miracles and signs. Y'all are too slow in here tonight. I need y'all to wake up and get this. You don't need to be in a church where people are gossiping and negative and divisive, because that's going to block your blessing. Okay, y'all can be cute if you want, but I need y'all to get this. There is a level of in God that does not happen because you in the building. It happens because we're on one accord in one spirit functioning from the same desire. I don't need nobody next to me that's frowning up and folding their arms. Everybody that's sitting in my pew better come with a praise and a desire to lift up the name of Jesus. I need you. I know we scattered. Let them jokers be home. We're going to get it tonight. I need you to look all around you and tell your neighbor, don't be cute tonight. I need God to do something. Come on, tell him, I need God to do something. Come on, I need you to tell somebody, I need him to do something. It may not be a miracle. I may need him to move some stuff around, but I need God to do it. So if you ain't gonna holler for me, at least holler for yourself. And if you holler for you, I holler for you too. I need God to do something. Koinonia is not selfishness. It is openness. It is vulnerability. It's selflessness. It's me wanting you to get it before I get it. So look all around you and say, I'm a holler for you tonight. Because if you get it, he must be in the room. Yes, Lord. I need y'all to understand that a part of what the enemy's trying to do, I feel the Holy Ghost pressing here. A part of what the enemy's trying to do is to block the move of God. You don't need a church that you can predict the beginning and the end. A written program should determine whether God sets off a miracle in the room. In fact, I need about six of y'all to get up, go find somebody, shake their hand and tell them, I just came to declare something new's getting ready to happen in your life. I sense that the hand of God is about to move supernaturally over your life. I'm not going to walk out of here until you get yours. And so I'm going to open my mouth and speak over you tonight. I'm convinced. Shatabasha. God, I thank you. Now I need about eight folk to lift your hands, open your mouth, and tell them, I believe he can do it. If two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the middle of it. The enemy despises churches.
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.